It is a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, of course, brought to you by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as the Foes continue a series down in D.C. Scott, how you doing today?
Scott.
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Are you sure you're doing all right, Scott?
Well, you know, the last couple of days have been rough.
Yes,
in a lot
yes
of respect,
they have.
In a lot of ways. Got a little sleep last night. That was good.
Yeah, we heard about the travel issues. They had some trouble getting out of Cincinnati, Hugh, and they were able to get to D.C. until... When did you guys get into D.C., Scott?
We landed at Dulles at 2 in the afternoon, and the buses went straight to the ballpark and got there about 3.
Yeah, that is quite a turnaround. That's not the kind of travel that the Phillies or anybody wants. And last night, not a great night. The last few nights, not a great night or great nights for the Phillies here. Scott, what do you make of the offense right now, which they got so many clutch hits early in this road trip and found a way to win those games late? It just feels like those aren't coming at the same rate the last 4 or 5 games, where they're not scoring early and they're not scoring enough late either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the reason behind it is, but maybe it's just the ups and downs. But it's not been a good week for the offense. There's no question about that. I mean, obviously, the three guys at the top, who've largely just carried them this season offensively, they've kind of all, in one way or another, kind of hit the skids a little bit. I mean, you know, there's still a little bit of production here and there. You know, last night, 10 hits, that was good. You know, didn't generate that many chances all in all, kind of really scattered those 10 hits. But yeah, I mean, Abbott was really good the other day. Hunter Green was really tough the other day. I tell you, I don't know if I'd want to be the team playing them in a short series with a couple of starters like that. That'd be a tough challenge.
It certainly would. And I think Lodolo was out. He's out, but he's good too. So they have a lot of pitching there. Scott, let's talk about Nick Castellanos. It feels like it's been a while with this down streak or, you know, slump he's been in. And Scott, I think this came up last week when we spoke, but I'm starting to wonder just how much longer they can let him play every day. They have more options in the outfield now. If they played Bader in center on a more regular basis, they could use Kepler, and Castellanos is more of a split in right field than just Castellanos basically every day. I know Saturday they did it, and I wondered if that was something to come or was just what they said, want to get him a day off on the turf in Texas. What do you think about Castellanos and where this is headed right now?
Well, obviously he's really, really struggling. You know, I've asked Rob about it numerous times recently, and, you know, one day it's, you know, he's not quite ready to move him down in the order, although he went down a tick last night, you know, moved up Marsh and moved Castellanos down, gave him the day off for the knee. But he, you know, in his pregame briefing with the press yesterday, he kind of hinted to the idea that there might be more days off to come. He said, you know, I mean, he kind of couched it in the idea that, you know, it's that time of year and maybe some guys could benefit from some more days off. I think that was kind of how he phrased it. And I wouldn't be shocked if you saw that type of alignment. I mean, tonight's probably not going to be the night with a lefty on the hill, but I would not be surprised if you see it. You know, if his struggles continue, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit more of what we saw last weekend against DeGrom.
So, Scott, so far, what do you think of Harrison Bader's contribution to the team?
Well, he's been good. He hasn't done a ton offensively. You know, he had the one big home run on the homestand, but he hasn't done a lot offensively. Now, you know, in his defense, he's been really in and out of the lineup, and maybe there's something to be said for just planting him out there in center field and figuring out the corners. You know, they haven't obviously gone to that that place yet. I think it still could be in the cards. Defensively, he's been great. Made a great catch, you know, to save a run the other night, rob a homer. To me, he's a really good center fielder. I mean, he just takes charge of all the balls in the gaps. He takes charge. You know, he's had one misstep, really, and that was that pop-up in shallow center. But other than that, I think he's been really, really good defensively. But, you know, again, not a whole lot offensively there.
Scott Fransky with us here in a Fransky Friday. Scott, let's talk about the pitching, which we'll welcome back an old face coming up on Sunday. Aaron Nola going to start that game Sunday off the injured list, and it's been a while. We haven't seen him since May. Very long injured stint, which is not typical for Aaron Nola. And Scott, the question in my mind is, what is Aaron Nola going to be like? Because I think we can excuse maybe the last few starts he had before he went on the IL, because clearly the ankle was bothering him. But he wasn't very good early in the season. And I think we assumed, all right, he'll figure it out. But now we haven't seen him in a long time. What's your expectation for Nola? Who, Scott, suddenly feels very important to me with the way the back of the rotation is. I feel like they need him again, the way they kind of always do at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think they do. I think, you know, you still operate under the assumption that, I mean, you started the year, he was basically your number two guy. I know, you know, to me, he's hugely important. And you're obviously pushing every other starter out to insert him in. Maybe that'll only be for one turn. Maybe it'll be for more. I don't know. But yeah, he may not blow the doors off first start kind of thing, because he's still really, you know, I mean, it's a long, long layoff, so he's still working his way back. But yeah, I do think he's pretty important at this stage of the game. And I think you're still, you know that it's Wheeler and Sanchez 1 and 2. Who's number three? Who's going to be your third playoff starter if you're in a short series? You know, you could probably get by with three in a division series or wild card series or whatever the heck they call it. If you get to that spot, but I think he's very, very important. So I'm curious to see what he's got.
We are too, Scott. That number three for a while felt like it was going to be Ranger Suarez,
yeah.
And it's not looking great in that department now. What are you noticing when you watch him? I mean, the velocity's down, but he doesn't pitch with great velocity anyway, so that doesn't usually get me. But boy, they were getting some good swings off him in Cincinnati this week.
They were, especially, I mean, after the first couple of innings, I mean, first seven batters, he looked like old Ranger. But after that, his command was way off. And then I thought he really kind of broke down mentally, to be honest with you. He really, I think, let some calls that he didn't agree with get to him. And, you know, I mean, he even kind of admitted that right at the end. That he was just sort of throwing at that point, and I think throwing with a little bit of anger, and that doesn't usually lead to very good results. So, I mean, given the track record of last year, there's reason for concern. We kept thinking, you know, if he gets healthy, he'll figure it out, and he never really did last year. So, and you can understand there's probably a lot of pressure on Ranger. He's got a contract he wants to sign in the off season. And, you know, this second half is starting to slip away from him. So, I think there's plenty of reason for concern.
Scott, you brought up contract. I got to ask you, I'm wondering if you've found it interesting. We clearly made a big deal out of it because, you know, that's what we do. The Schwarber stuff in Cincinnati this week, the homecoming, his dad and throwing out the first pitch. I mean, there's some thought out there that the Reds are going to try to pursue him in free agency. Did you find that over the top? I can't remember a time where there was an active player and it wasn't like a retirement tour, because those are different.
Yeah.
You know, it felt almost like that, even though he's not in a retirement tour. What did you make of the Reds kind of celebrating Schwarber the entire series there?
Well, I mean, if it's laying the groundwork to get a guy they want, good for them. It's not a bad idea if that's what their end game is. I don't know how realistic it is for them to want to go after Schwarber in free agency, but I don't know if they're ready to commit the kind of dollars that it would take to get him. In that regard, was it over the top? I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I was about to ask that with, too.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah, it's different. You're right. I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that. So, a game on, I guess, right?
I guess it is.
You know that he's going to be pursued.
Of course.
Whether it's the Reds or, Cleveland or any other team. You know, I'm not talking just hometown teams. Any other, he's going to be pursued. But I do think he likes it here. I think he understands that the Phillies are interested and I would say more than interested. I mean, I think the Phillies have a full realization of how important he is both on the field and off. I don't think that's the case at all. This is going to be, you know, go out and see what the market is out there. And I think the Phillies would have every opportunity to try to make a matching kind of deal and try to sway him to stay. And I do think he likes it here. So
What is your gut telling you though, Scott? Because you know when you let you know somebody go out there and see if they can find greener pastures, mm-hmm. you know those offers might be you know
sure
they might be lofty.
Sometimes Hugh Douglas ends up in Jacksonville instead of on the Eagles. It happens.
Right. I mean, you know, Nola went to free agency, right?
Yeah.
And Nola tested the market, and Nola got a really good offer apparently from the Braves, and the Phillies had to make an even better offer. And you know, it costs them a lot of money, and it may end up costing them more than it would have, say, a year ago or whatever, if you extended him. It's very likely with the year that he's having that it's going to, you know, cost you more than it would have at this, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that's, you know, that's kind of the price of poker, I guess. My gut tells me that they'll make, that money will not deter them from signing Kyle Schwarber. Just sheer dollars won't deter them. I don't think. I think they really, really understand how important he is, both in the lineup and in the clubhouse, for the organization, all those things. He's like kind of everything you want, and I don't think money's going to stand in the way for the Phillies.
Good to hear.
Well, that is great to hear, and hopefully it plays out the way we want, which is him back here. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be listening this weekend. Phillies and Nats, hopefully they get some wins here and get back home on Monday. Thank you, Scott.
All right, thanks. Let's get it turned around, boys.
Sounds yes, great. Definitely. There he is. Scott Francie, the voice of the Phillies there. I'm glad Scott said that. So Scott has been broadcasting baseball a long time. Hugh, I've been a fan of baseball my whole life. What I saw this weekend in Cincinnati this week, I've never seen. Like, that's typically reserved for, you know, the David Ortiz retirement tour, the Barry mm-hmm. Bonds, or he didn't really get one, but like the great player that it says I'm retiring after the season, Jeter or whatever, right? And every park they go to, someone gives them a plaque or something or whatever, and everyone cheers because it's the great Cal Ripken, right? The great player that's about to go home. Kyle Schwarber was a free agent to be, and they were treating him like that. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I still think it's the Ohio thing, but for Scott to sit there and say he's never seen anything like that,
it's nuts.
It's different. It hits a little different when you have somebody who's been in the game as long as he's been.
Yeah, and
to say that,
I understand why they did it.
You did.
Yeah. I did.
I'm not. I was
listen
off,
to old
I
Kyle
was,
more often.
I was off a little bit on that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just vibrating in a higher frequency.
How does it feel when it's thrown back in the higher frequency?
No, it's fine. Mm-hmm. We're here now, and I'm glad he's vibrating at higher frequency. Okay. It took me long enough to get him there. Mm-hmm.
With all due respect.
You haven't gotten me there. Here's what frequency I'm vibing under. I hated that Schwarber participated.
Why?
I hated it. What do you mean, why? He's a Philly. Throw out the first pitch at the Reds game.
It was a joke by him.
It was annoying. Like, why would he do that? Can we keep the main? I'm going to use the Jalen line.
The main thing.
Yeah, can we play? You're playing for the Phillies.
It's your dad, though, and your dad probably sat there with all glassy eyes. Come oh my on. Gosh! I get
Go
to
play
do
catch
it.
With all due
dad's
respect,
house.
Dad, sit down and shut it.
Getting used by the Reds.
Yeah, you can't get mad when you say with all due respect.
That's what you taught us. With all due respect.
With all due respect, Dad. Shut your pie hole.
With all due respect, Kyle, you're a Philly. Enough flirting with the Reds in front of us. I was jealous. I was annoyed. I felt all those emotions.
That's what happens. Hey, but if you do what you're supposed to do, then you ain't got to worry about your girl going to the club flirting with somebody else. That's an analogy.
Okay, but I have no control over this, the girl, the club, or any of the analogies you're making. I just want Schwarber to stay a Philly.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I thought
it was a lot, though.
It was, especially because he's the leader of the team. I mean, you're the leader of the team going out there, getting showered with gifts from the Reds? Enough. All right, let's go.
Well, see how the team's played ever since.
I didn't think of that. Gone in the tanks since Schwarber was flirting with the Reds?
They haven't won a game since.
Mm.
They lose if they have a bad weekend, you know that's what we're talking about on Monday.
You know what? There might be something to that because how did that make the Reds feel? Knowing that, you know.
How to make the Phillies feel.
Yeah.
His teammates watching him out there.
Took the wind out of their sails a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Schwarber hasn't hit a home run since either, has he?
I don't think so. His first home run was the first game of the Red Series.
Here's what happens when you start fooling with those Ohio cats.
I know.
Is that what it is?
They're bad news. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't argue that.
Yeah. Those guys are.
Some of them.
You wanted to be offended.
Some of them are fighting demons.
With all due respect.
Some of them are fighting demons on a daily basis.
Yeah, actually, without any respect. Black Gritty's up next. What's up, Black Gritty?
So, first of all, he should have never done that. And people get on Bryce for pandering. Mm-hmm. That was pandering.
It was.
Like, what are we doing?
Totally.
What are we doing? Like, you're going to play them like 19 more times in your life. You're about to sign another 3-year contract. Stop it. And they have been playing terrible since then. So I'm blaming it all on Schwarber, and they better fix it because I'm sick and tired. Now, Topper, has to do a great job. You know why? Because I got a platoon outfield. So every single night I got to worry about him pushing the right buttons to get me what I need to do to win games. And it's making me sick. But we're still winning World Series because that's all I got left in my heart to hope for. It is what it is. Now, as far as the preseason and practice and training camp, you're right. When they're doing good, I'm happy about it. When they're doing bad, I'm still a world champion, and I don't care. And I know I got Super Bowl-itis, and I know Kyle be jumping up and down, jumping out the window. But it's the Browns, and they didn't have A.J. Brown. And they didn't want Saquon out there because they don't want to get this. Like, I'm just saying, we're out there just going through motions. We're trying to stay healthy. And, by the way, Howie Roseman has to be stopped, okay? Hearing Lane Johnson speak the way he spoke makes me sick because Fletcher Cox just got paid his last paycheck. I think they still owe Kelsey one more year check. Lane's like, well, shoot, they done kicked my contract down the can so far. If I retire next year, they still owe me four seasons of free tax. And he ain't got to go to no training camps. That's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about these free seasons he's going to get. He looked at Kelsey and Cox like, yo, these dudes sitting at home still getting 14 mil? That could be me, bro. So, Howie, you better watch all this can kicking you're doing. These dudes want to retire, have a podcast now, you know what I mean? Get Taylor Swift on it, make some real money. You know what I'm saying? Gotta be careful. That's what's going on. Mm. I hate hearing that from Lane Johnson. Makes my heart ache. Now, ask about John Johnson.
What do you got? I need a snack of the night. John needs help here, Blacker. These guys eating celery.
So I told him I make the best macaroni and cheese in the world. I put mine up against anybody's grandma, auntie, coast to coast, Key West, Key Largo, and I told him I'd bring my pan. I bring a lobster mac, a crab mac, a smoked mac, whatever he wants to.
Lobster
I make
mac
it fresh
and cheese.
We're stretching the meaning of
but
snack.
But that's not a snack, though. That's like a meal.
It's a little filling for a snack.
It's one thing. That's
but it's a meal.
I mean, it's not a snack.
I'm putting my foot down. Your foot? What's your foot mean? Your skinny. You don't know nothing about snacks. I'm only taking you and me on this. You don't know nothing about no snacks.
Okay, well then, how about this, Black Gritty? You're not getting the league with that answer. So that's where I put my foot down.
All right, everyone relax.
A bowl of Captain Crunch would be like considered a snack.
It's just my thing on mac and cheese is I've never thought of it as a snack. I'm not saying it can't be. It just feels filling.
Of course, it's not a snack.
With all due respect, if you sit down eating mac and cheese as a snack, you probably well over 300. You use a three biller, with all due respect, like your definition of snacks is solely different than everybody else's definition.
So you can't.
It's not even close to a snack.
You can't imagine me coming in here like, you know, usually I have like a bar in the morning, right? When we're doing our meeting. Like, if I was sitting there at 9 a.m. having mac and cheese and you said, oh, it's your breakfast, and I said, no, I already had breakfast. This is my mid-morning snack. That would strike you as weird?
That would be a lot.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
Yeah, as a snack.
It's not a snack.
It's just too filling.
Because like, to me, if I want a snack, I'm going to pop some popcorn. So that's a snack. Maybe eat some chips
or something. I think there's a difference between a side and a snack. He said it's just one thing. Like, mac and cheese is definitely a side. A small portion of it.
When you put lobster in it, that's borderline a meal.
Well, that's a meal. It's a meal.
That's a borderline.
There's no borderline about it. You're talking about lobster mac and cheese.
Because, dude, thinking about let's set it up.
Put up a poll. Is mac and cheese a snack?
If we're talking about after 8 o'clock, right? Probably a snack. Just get something to get you to the next day.
Just a little bit. Little
so
snack.
I'm going to get me a bowl of mac and cheese. That sounds heavy. You know what I'm saying? That sounds heavy. I'm not doing that.
Maybe some ice cream is a
snack. Maybe some cricket chips.
Have you seen them?
They sell them in a pack, the seaweed thingies.
I've tried it. Gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, we tried it. No one liked it in the house.
But that's a snack.
It's a snack. Black Gritty did bring one really good thing to the table, though, that I think needs to be included in whatever the hell went on at Cincinnati this week with the Schwarber thing where they were flirting with him. He's the catch with Dad. I mean, come on. I never criticized Kyle Schwarber, but that whole thing was a joke. So it was a homecoming, right? They billed it as Kyle Schwarber's homecoming.
Yes.
Do you know how many times Kyle Schwarber's played in Cincinnati in his big league career? Remember, he used to play in the Central Division.
Yes.
He was a Cub.
Mm-hmm.
He's played there 50 times. 50. But this week, we decided to invite Dad to throw the first pitch out.
Because it was different.
Yeah, it was different because they want to court him in free agency, and he played along.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not trying to lie, I'm protecting. Didn't his dad retire? I think his dad retired.
From what? The big leagues?
I think he's an officer.
I think
of the law.
Right, yeah.
I think he's an officer of the law.
Yeah.
And I think he retired, and they were honoring him.
Yeah, how about we honor Mr. Schwarber any other night of the week?
But to your point, that's a lot. Like, he lives in Middletown. Middletown is not Cincinnati. It's not like he's a Cincinnati
police. I know. This Ohio thing.
I'm trying to protect Ohio, brother. But, yeah, this might be a bit of a reach.
I need to protect the Phillies and the rest of the season and where their head's at.
I might have to
and
lay
I got their best hitter out there getting showered with gifts and first pitches and dad on the field. Like, it's Little League or something.
Yeah, I might need to lay out on this.
I just couldn't believe it.
That was a lie.
It was a lie. It was extreme is what it was. Again, one thing, or like I know he was asked by the reporter who he probably knows, and he said, yeah, you know, as a kid, I wanted to play here. All right, can we just move on? The dad thing was over the top. And again, he's played there 50 times. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right, we got a lot going on here. So we're definitely Black Gritty's off the board. He's not. He has no chance to get it in?
I didn't even write it down.
Okay.
It's not being considered.
He didn't write it down.
I think he's very proud of his mac and cheese. He's put out photos of it before.
No, yeah. I'm saying
that's great, man. Find another way to shoehorn it in.
It's
not a snack.
Because he sent me a picture, right? And I'm not going to lie, Black Gritty. I thought this was pizza.
Oh, you're ripping the guy's mac and cheese?
No, I'm not saying.
He's a chef.
No. Joe, it's a lot of damn cheese, man.
Well, that's before it's baked.
Yeah, but okay.
Let me see what it looks like. Well, I do like the brown on the top, though, because looks good.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. But it's, dog. Okay, I didn't see that last picture. So, okay, so I take that back. But I thought it was a pizza, though.
Yeah,
What is that piece of chicken?
I don't know what's next to the mac and cheese.
Is that a piece of chicken? I mean, that's a heavy ass meal,
yeah,
man.
Clearly, the guy made a meal, not a snack. All right, 215-592-9494. Lot to discuss here. I think Topper needs to be great for the Phillies to win the World Series. Not good. Not just like there in the dugout. Not just write the lineup card. I think he needs to be great. This is a team. That every night is going to have to be managed to win. It's not blowing people out, pinch hitting, pitchers coming out in the seventh inning. It's all Topper decisions. He needs to be great. Agree, disagree for the Phillies to win the World Series. This training camp matter. A lot of people out there are just obviously in their feelings because the Eagles got blown out by the Browns yesterday. It matters.
Yeah,
they got to be better.
Was so strong.
The Elliott description of blown out by the Browns. All right, your phone calls here, 215-592-9494. We need to help our guy John Johnson. Snack of the night. The guy's running out of ideas. We're going with celery this week. What should John Johnson have as a snack of the night? Best answer we get today wins the spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. He was giggling over there. We got something else to talk about as well on the other side. What to expect? Aaron Nola's back tonight. We haven't watched Aaron Nola pitch since May. What do we expect from Aaron Nola? That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. And it's time to talk about FanDuel. I think I pulled a Hugh there, and he enjoyed it. All right, on Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your favorite football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race, perhaps a bounce-back statistical season for that quarterback out in Kansas City. Crown your champion in August. I was going to go with Philadelphia, but they got blown out yesterday by Cleveland, so now I need a new Super Bowl pick. Or parlay your division winner dark horses. I've been telling you, I like the dark horse in the South. Hughes Panthers and the Titans. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. You know who's back tonight? Or not tonight. Sunday, Hugh.
Shady's back.
Well, no. That's not his nickname, but
Shady. Nola's back.
Nola's back on Sunday. All right, what are you expecting? So Aaron Nola, it's been so long since we've watched him. I think people almost forget how bad he was to start the season. Let's be real. He was terrible.
Yeah, he was having a tough, but he was hurt.
Well, we found out towards the end, right, in the month
broke
of May.
Broke a foot, right? It was a foot broken?
I think it was an ankle. He rolled in Tampa, and then he started two more games after that, and they were disasters. And then they said it wasn't going to be that long. I remember then they found a stress reaction in his ribs,
which I put the break. I thought it was his foot, his ribs.
Yeah, we still don't know how that happened, but either way, that became a 2 month thing.
Nolan doesn't seem like that guy.
Does not seem like a chandelier guy.
I mean, the most people that swing from chandeliers don't seem like they swing from.
Yeah, but he really doesn't seem like it.
You ever heard him talk? He seems like he's the anti-chandelier guy. I mean, he's just.
I'm also gonna have to disagree. I mean, like, you seem like a swing from the chandelier kind of guy, and you do swing from the chandelier.
Yeah, I was about to say, wait.
What was that noise?
It was not. I did not confirm, nor did I deny.
No, that's true.
I would have rode him until he told me no.
Aaron Nola back on Sunday. Do we expect him? Do you expect Aaron Nola to pitch well? Says it all.
Well, no, because what is your definition of well? He hasn't pitched in some months.
I know. And when he was pitching this season, like, obviously for his Phillies career, he's been a very good pitcher. But this year, he stunk. Then he got hurt. And now he's back. Now,
stunk is so
there's two ways to look at it. He's going to come back and stink again. Or he is a fresh arm. I mean, by this time of the year, Aaron Nola and every pitcher, right? They're going through the dead arm. They're tired. I think there could be an advantage here for a guy that has pitched so many innings in his career. Hugh, he basically got the summer off. I mean, he wasn't able to pitch until about a month ago when he started his rehab.
Didn't think about it like that.
It could be a fresh arm. I am optimistic that Aaron Nola is going to come back and give the Phillies some good innings. No, I don't know until I see him, but I'm optimistic we're going to get a good version Aaron Nola.
If you had to put a number on it, what would that number be?
Like, in terms of an ERA?
Innings.
Oh, Sunday's game, his first game back. I don't know. I mean, his first game might only be five innings because
that's what I was putting.
First time
five
back.
Innings, two hits, three hits.
Yeah, I mean, if he gives me five innings and two or three runs in his first game back,
I just said hits.
I know.
I didn't say nothing about runs.
Well, what do you want? Zero runs in his first game back?
One run.
You're setting the bar pretty high. One
okay,
run.
So maybe two.
So five innings, two runs. I'll take that in his first game back. Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many games he did that this season before he got hurt. Probably not that many. I will take that. And they are officially going to the six-man rotation. Scott brought that up. I was going to ask him. He kind of went there when I brought up Aaron Nola.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh, we talked about this, a week ago. Should they go to a six-man rotation? Well, they're doing it now. So Nola's in the rotation. Now, we'll see how long they do it. Now, I don't know if this is going to be a one-week thing, a two-week thing, a three-week thing. But for the next X amount of starts, they're going to use a six-man rotation. I like it. I think Taiwan has pitched well enough to get more starts. And I think this will give both Wheeler and Ranger Suarez just more time in between their starts. I think that will help them. I know in the past, Zach Wheeler hasn't loved this idea, but hey, buddy, you're throwing like 89-mile-an-hour cutters over the middle. So we're
trying to save you from yourself at this point. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Did you just hey, buddy, Zach Wheeler?
I hey, buddy.
He did hey, buddy.
I mean, I needed to. I think the Phillies sometimes need to hey, buddy. They're players.
Tread lightly.
Hey, buddy.
Well, I mean, they don't hate buddies. Castellanos, they tried once, and he barked back at them. And since then.
With all due respect first.
With all due respect. Hey, buddy. Kyle, you're expecting a good Nola.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I could be crazy. Yeah. Have been before. But I actually do attribute the terrible start to the season to some of the injury stuff. Mm. Like, I think the ankle thing was legit, and it made it really tough on him. I actually expect a fresh and solid Aaron Nola.
Yeah, and when Scott said he's very important, right now, if you had to guess, which game does Aaron Nola start in the postseason? So first of all,
it was a three-game series?
Well, let's say it's a five-game series, the NLDS. I think he's going to start game three or four, but he's getting a start.
Now, he goes three. Walker, piggybacked by Ranger, gets four.
Hold on a second. We're starting Taiwan in a playoff game?
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen him?
I can't do it.
What do you want to do? Start Ranger? He's got like a 6 ERA.
And he just had a meltdown.
I have not. Uncharacteristic. I'm not off the Lizardo train.
Uncharacteristic.
Okay.
I still think there's upside to Lizardo.
Okay. I can agree with that.
I think but he's got to be managed right. Like, Topper's got to be, because Lizardo could be great and then he just like falls apart in batters.
Yeah.
You got to manage it.
Sure.
You got to be on top of it.
Yeah, Ranger's not setting foot. On the mound, starting a playoff game right now.
Yeah, no. Ranger come out of the bullpen. He's lost his way.
Yep.
But yeah, so we all think Aaron Nola is going to start game three.
Yeah.
Well, then he better pitch well.
I do.
Yeah, he better.
I'm with you.
Yeah. This weekend, you know, obviously we want to win some games here and get back on track. But Wheeler tonight, let's see how he looks velocity wise. And he said he felt good after the Rangers start, so we'll see. And then Nola. That game on Sunday, by the way, is at 11:30 a.m. You guys know that? We got a morning game on Sunday. You going to be awake?
All depends on how that Saturday goes. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm I'm being totally honest with you. I had a bottle of wine last night. It wasn't that great.
No?
No, it tastes like they left the they mashed the grapes with the dirt. It was not good.
They did what?
You know how the grapes, like,
yeah,
they,
but there's
they,
a fermenting process.
No, but I'm saying
filtering and all that.
Like, I guess because I don't know how I've been trying to work
on
my.
Did you get it at a guy down the street?
No,
or?
I've been trying to work on my vernacular as far as my wine.
It doesn't seem like it's going well.
Well, it's not.
They're mashing the grapes with the dirt.
Because I can't think of another way. Earthy. It tasted real earthy.
Don't they call that like terroir or something like that?
We need
that
a
sounds
what,
about
what
right.
Is the, what are they called when they're the wine expert? Sommelier.
Sommelier.
We
yeah.
need we need a sommelier to call it.
Yeah, sommelier Douglas.
It tasted. It was real. It was real. It was earthy.
What about the tannins?
The tannins, you know, I don't let it. I don't let it.
We're just gonna toss around buzzwords.
Yeah. I don't let it breathe sommelier. Enough to taste the tannins. Yeah. I just
we're
pop
wine,
that
wine
thing
people.
In the bottle. Yeah, I just drink that.
There is a sommelier listening right now. It's like these guys don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Butchering the wine tasting thing, and they're like they hate us right now.
They'll.
But it tasted like dirt.
You had a tough night out at your dinner out last night.
Man, had the
food, the wine.
Shame. That's all I can say.
Dude,
shame.
Could be worse. You could be Herb.
That's
yeah,
true.
Her.
A dinner that wasn't that great versus with 7 hours
you know,
in the toilet.
The difference between me and Herb, I didn't put the restaurant on blast.
He aired them out. That was tough for them.
He absolutely did. Yeah, that's.
And then he going back to back fast food. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know that guy's got to take care of himself better. Though at the gym the day after recovering from food poisoning.
Okay,
that's dedication.
I like Herb a lot.
But
what are you at the gym working on though, dog? Seriously,
curls
for the girls.
No, I said curls for the girls. I guess you could say. But he's working on his curls.
Not leg day. You don't think?
No,
Herb has not seen that nan one leg day.
He has some of the thinnest legs I've ever seen.
You heard like he riding on a chicken, man. Love Herb, Herb like he riding on a chicken.
All right, from here.
I still subscribe to the Pox Party theory about the fast food.
Hugh had no idea about the Pox parties.
He looked at us very much. He was you peopling us.
He was. I saw it in his eyes. He gave us the this is a white person thing eyes. I saw it. I had to address it.
You don't even want to know about the visual that I had in my head. A bunch of moms sitting around drinking wine, letting their kids touch all of them.
Yep,
that's exactly what it was.
Go get sick, son.
They put us all in like the playpen. They're like, get yourself sick so we're done with it.
Mom coming home banged up saying, like, little Timmy got the pox today. Me and Carol had a pox party.
Well, that's a success.
This is exactly. This is what it was.
This might sound crazy, but I need to know because we're here. Did they charge for these parties?
This was like a social
charge.
Thing.
Wait a minute.
It's a neighborhood thing.
The cost is getting the pox.
Think of it like a block party that people have these days.
So wait a minute. Barbara got on the phone and said, hey, Cindy Lou. Little Timmy got the pox. You want to bring the kids over to get
them?
Yeah, right away. I'll call Carol down the block.
If I remember correctly,
Cindy Lou and Carol, you're pushing it, buddy.
And Elizabeth.
How many more names you got?
Let's go get Sarah.
The
kids.
Thought process was get it out of the way. Just get your chicken pox. Bring them all together. Everyone gets it. Then we're done.
Let's go, Kylie. Kylie, get your bring your kids on over, Kylie. We got it.
He's naming every white girl name he knows.
You have any more? You tapped out.
That's about it.
Okay.
Want to pop up like 10 minutes later in the middle of another conversation?
Just start naming white names for no reason.
Hey, Batty. Want to come and bring kids over? Get in the box.
Speaking of Patrick in Tabernacle. What's up, Patrick?
Yo. I can't believe Hugh is gainfully employed. You know what I mean? Sometimes, Hugh. You're having too much fun.
I get what you're saying because I mean this is not a real job.
We don't act like we're at work, which is
you almost caught me. About to catch a bad one. I had to think about that for a minute.
No, but listen, man, listen, Joe Giglio. I told Kyle I could. The only thing I'd look at with, and I don't even watch preseason, is like who got hurt, injuries. And like, it's just that cut and dry for me. Everything else is just, it's what do you call that to me? White noise. I'm tuned out. You know what I mean? And, I could care less. Because the fact of the matter is, once we get to the regular season, we still don't know what team we have until we get to the – it's like a four-game check. That's how I live now. You don't know what team you have until the fourth game after the fourth game of the NFL, it seems.
So, you know, Patrick, I mean? You're right about that. And I think it's unfortunate because I think it kind of robs us of good football in the month of September. It's almost like preseason quality, unfortunately, the first month. I do think – and this is kind of just separate from what you're saying. Even it's kind of on the same track, but separate. Patrick, I do think that – it could go the other way at some point where a team is going to try a different strategy to get off to a better start, because I think the whole league uses September, but if you can be more ready to go, you may have an advantage over other teams. I mean,
sure.
It's silly to me, but I understand that health is the most important thing for these teams.
And that's a good point too, because if you think about it, we got a running game now. Running disappeared in the NFL. And, like, all of a sudden, you know, it's like a team's got these faster, you know, smaller linebackers. And it's like, wait a minute. And then you go to the running game and you can just bang the heck out of these guys all day. So now, you know, they went one way. Now they're coming back to another. So we'll see. But more importantly, hey, Hugh, listen, man, we were talking about sharks and stuff during the summer.
Yes.
You know, during the July 4th weekend, there was a three-day stretch. I'm up in the Barnegat Bay with where, you know, we anchor and we swim, we hang out. They had bullnose rays. And if you Google it, yo, these bullnose rays are big fish, and when they swim, they fly like birds almost, and the tips of their wings come out of the water, and it looks like there's friggin' sharks in there. And I'm telling you, dude, they're big and they're fast.
So yeah, I'm looking at some of the pictures of them. Yeah, they're pretty wide.
Man. Yeah, you see how big they get?
Yeah, they're pretty big.
I'm telling you, dude, it looked like 4 to 5 feet across. The wing from tip to tip.
Yeah, I'm fooling around.
Fast, because they move like a video game, and they're in the lagoons. That's what I'm telling you. Anybody, here's my PSA. Do not swim and play in lagoons, especially when you have high water temps, because that's the bait fish come in, and bigger fish come in, and bigger fish come in, and like you just don't know what you're getting into. So there you go.
You mean like the lagoon that they had the Kelce games at down there?
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Oh, come on.
I told you there was an injured dogfish in the lagoon this year. Dogfish aren't going to do nothing, but they're 4 feet. They're 3 to 4 feet. Look up spiny dogfish. You know what I mean? And they're all in the bay. They're all in the bay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't need any more reasons.
I know.
I'm not going.
Patrick, you're going to get Hugh not to step foot near the shore ever again.
No, I'm not going.
Stay out.
Wolf eels.
Go to the pool. You're a pool guy. Just go to the pool. Get a drink.
Go to the pool.
Yeah. I feel like pool's not up your alley either, man.
No, I got a snack.
What do you got?
So listen, my brother makes butter. And Hugh, I'm not just talking about regular.
I know
butter.
You. When you said butter, I already knew what you were going to.
He's the Walter White of butter. So when he makes butter, you can put this butter on whatever floats your boat. You like a blueberry muffin in the morning? No problem. You like a little toast with cinnamon and sugar on it? No problem. Me myself, I like chocolate chip cookies. Hugh, you're a big fella. If I gave you, you might do right. It's like clear your plate, clear your calendar, have one or two of these cookies. Boy, it'll get you right through.
Yeah, but you know what the problem with that is? Because John has to actually do a show.
Yeah.
And he might not.
That's right. He might not make it.
We're
talking about John. Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't going to make it.
He can't. No. No. He
can't make what?
I'll talk to you off the air.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Patrick, I'll figure it out at some point. Patrick, good phone call.
By the way, remember when we put up a poll last year? Mm-hmm. Be honest, do you pee in swimming pools? 41% of people said yes.
That was an alarming number. It was an alarming number.
It's an insane amount of people.
It made me question every swimming pool I've ever gone in.
It was. So,
yeah. 41%?
And when you go to certain places, like say it was called the Wave at Cedar Point. I think it was called the Wave back in the day.
Okay.
Where it was like it periodically brought the waves in. You know, probably a couple places had that. When you see all those people in the pool, man, you know somebody peeing in the pool, man.
I appreciate Patrick's calls always, but he didn't help you. I mean, he just made you more fearful of lagoons and water.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I wasn't doing that anyway, though, because that's how my mind works.
But you looked
to
me
now.
Like as if the Kelce thing we were at, there were sharks in there. There were no sharks.
See, just like you
all the Eagles players got in and out. They're all training camp, but no shark injuries.
You didn't think that there was an alligator not that far from your home.
Yeah, but that was user error. Someone put the alligator in there.
It was still there. But wait a second.
I bring a rhinoceros to the studio, then you shouldn't then fear there's always going to be rhinoceroses here.
I mean, I did it. You know what?
Don't tempt you.
If you did that, then I know not to trust you anymore because you're bringing rhinoceroses to work. Rhinoceroses. Yeah, why take the chance, though? That's all I'm saying. Why are we taking these chances?
He does bring up a good point. If you're bringing a rhinoceros to work, you become untrustworthy instantly.
I agree with that.
What are we doing?
I'm untrustworthy. The building is not untrustworthy. Work isn't untrustworthy. Well, just because there was one gator in a lake or whatever it was, the river.
But how do you know it's only one gator? That's only one gator that they caught.
See, now you're just fearful of all this
stuff.
No,
I'm just saying, but it's only one gator that they caught. Because somebody did say, where's the mama?
Counterpoint, though, to play devil's advocate, how trustworthy is this building if they're allowing a rhinoceros in here?
Then the building might not be trustworthy. Makes me think about what was the name of the pet service gator that they tried to bring into Citizens Bank.
Should have been allowed in.
No, that was a ridiculous thought. It should not have been allowed in. You could not have a situation where you're online to get a beer and there's an alligator rubbing up against your leg. You can't have that. That's crazy stuff. All right, let's go to Brian.
There for emotional support.
In Roxburgh, and he was not. We've taken it too far. Brian, what's up?
What's going on, Joe Giglio?
What's up,
Hugh?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. First of all, I just want to say I'm going to live and die on the Nick Castellanos Hill. Me and my son are big fans of him. But I have a couple of points I wanted to say. First of all, earlier this year, Kyle Schwarber, he went, what was it, 3 for 34? And because it was in June, it didn't get as hyped up as it would have been if it was nailed, because we're closer to the playoffs. And the last two postseasons, Nick Castellanos has also been one of our best hitters. And I just feel like I feel like everybody overreacts because of the contract. Way to clean that up, dog.
Good job.
So I think I understand your point that it's happening now. We're coming down the stretch, so we're kind of hyper-focused on it versus if it happened a little earlier, maybe it gets lost in the shuffle. But, Brian, here's the difference for me. He's streaky, right? He's always been streaky. I'm starting to feel like he's in decline. Like, it's not just streakiness, but even when he comes out of it, is he going to be the Castellanos that he was 3, 4, 5 years ago? I don't know. Defensively, I totally agree with that, though, Joe.
I was listening to you guys early on the Odyssey app, and I totally agree. I do believe that he could be in a decline, and he is a very streaky player. But to hear you guys say that you want to platoon him with Max Kepler, when last week I'm listening to WIP, everybody wanted to DFA Max Kepler, and it just kind of drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm in the car on my way down to Florida, and I'm sitting here yelling at my wife. She has no idea what I'm talking about. Like, who's Max Kepler? I'm like, you guys wanted to DFA him last week, and all of a sudden you wanted to platoon him. So, you know, that's my two cents on the Castellanos.
What's in Florida, Brian?
We're going to Universal for the week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sounds like a nice time.
I think he wants to join.
Yeah.
Are you on good terms with your wife after yelling at her? You guys going to go over it?
It's a long ass
Just drive. Blame it on me. So that idiot Chilio wanted a DFA Kepler.
I was like, Joe Chilio is an idiot. Yeah. I can't wait to call in.
It's a long ass drive, man.
It's not that long of a drive.
No, but it also made
From
me
here
think
to
of
Florida?
The try. Yeah, try.
Don't you go to Georgia all the time?
Georgia and Florida is not. It's further.
Yeah, but how much further? 4 hours.
That's about 20 hours.
Yeah, but how much further than Georgia?
We have like 3 hours. We just got into Florida. We just left Georgia. We got 3 hours into the Universal.
There you go. All right, Brian. So, we enjoy it. But before you go, you got to give us a snack. We got to help John Johnson out. Snack of the night.
Well, I'm not even. I will bring this snack back for him because I know Hugh is a big fan of this place. We just stopped there. Bucky's. I will get him some beef jerky from Bucky's to be in the fantasy football midday draft.
Awesome, Brian. Are you in the mix? That's a good answer. The beef jerky from Bucky's, is that a top notch?
I haven't had it.
You haven't had it.
That's a 16-hour trip, dog. That's 16 hours.
I know, but you go to Georgia driving. Like that.
It don't take me 16 hours to get to Georgia. It'll take me probably on a good day, 9.
But if you can drive to Georgia, saying that Florida's far, it doesn't make any sense. It's the next state.
That's a nice little hump. Like, for real.
Isn't it the next state?
No, well, like you're talking about, but no, it's the next state, but you have to drive through
Georgia.
You got to go through Warner Robins and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like down that part of Georgia, a person of my complexion, it gets a little dicey.
I didn't say you have to do
I'm
it.
I'm just saying, that's a little, especially at night. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do
that. Stop by one of those pox parties.
You know what I mean?
Say, yeah, hey, where are you going?
Going to a pox party. Hey, Katie. You got any kids that got the chicken
pox? By the way, this chicken pox talk did not end on one of the breaks. We were discussing the next iteration of chicken pox, which, of course, is shingles. And I was talking about when I'm 50, I'm going to get my shingles vaccine. I felt very old having this conversation here. Yeah, I got to get a shingles vaccine when I'm 50. Let's go to Elizabeth in New Jersey. What's up, Elizabeth?
Hey, I'm just calling because the Schwarber thing is infuriating because if it were a something for his dad to celebrate retirement, then someone on Cincinnati should have been catching the ball.
Elizabeth, I agree. I agree with you. If they wanted to celebrate his dad, they could have done that. And Schwarber could have been on the field, right, and, like, give him a hug and been there for his dad. Sure, but, like,
They were sending a message loud and clear to Philadelphia. We're coming for him.
And he went along with it, Elizabeth.
Yes, he did.
I get why the Reds are doing what they're doing. They want him. I get it. But, like, he didn't have to go along with it.
No, and he pissed off a lot of Philly fans, and he should have just said, hey, let's do that thing, and I'll give him a hug at the end. I'll acknowledge my hometown. That's it. That's all.
Totally. Elizabeth, it's a good phone call, and I agree. This is the first time I've been annoyed at Kyle Schwarber as a Philly. I'm annoyed.
It's Ohio thing, man.
Stop.
Okay, that dog.
This is excuse maker, Dr. Yeah, that Ohio thing.
That was definitely an excuse.
That was a strong stop. You were not having that. No, I'm not doing this.
That dog was going hard. It was strange, and I've never seen it be done before, but like anybody that's from Ohio, Middletown, like right down the street, though.
Again, he's played 50 games in his career.
He was an officer of the law.
I got my eye on you, Douglas.
Yeah, that
this is
the Ohio thing.
I feel like a pretzel right about now. I'm stretching myself all over the place. That's a bad take. That's a bad one. That's the only bad take I've ever had here.
That's not true.
That's the only one. It's the only bad
the audience. The audience knows that's the lie. And then we're telling lies. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. John Johnson, he needs snacks. The guy's eating celery in the overnight. Best answer we get today on a Tri-Day Friday for a new snack of the night for John. We'll win a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League live draft at McGurk's in Roseford on September 3rd. You're causing the Philly stuff. Topper, does he need to be great? And training camp. Does training camp matter? Can't believe I'm living in a world where training camp doesn't matter anymore. That everyone's just poo-pooing the Eagles getting blown up
just
by the Browns.
Just because they're not playing well.
Well, that's right. If they're playing well, they'd be like, oh, they're going undefeated. Plus, we do have a preseason game tomorrow. We'll give you what we'll be looking for. We got a pregame show tomorrow at 11 leading into the game. That's the extra calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.